fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news with Dan Dugan.
Right here, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance. 94.1, and I've also heard us on WCRS, of course.
So WCRS,
our sister station, or is that our brother station? Little brother station.
I think we're the feminine station.
Right, exactly. We've been feminized. That's okay by me. I can live with that. I really can.
Particularly because it's International Women's Day.
Yesterday was, and 5.3 million Spanish women said, "El screw you," and stepped out. And
well,
struck.
That's right. The original holiday was all about strikes and empowering women, just like May Day.
Viva Mujeres. I'll practice a very little bit of Spanish there. Very little.
All right. So,
but yeah, that's going on. And in the meantime, speaking of strikes, the West Virginia teachers' strike continues.
Many of the leaders I saw on TV. Women, but again,
I was going to say that's right. That's exactly
the fact
right.
that teachers, and if you go back far enough in history, many of them women.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've one of the things I've always found fascinating, if you ever read the old contracts, you know, from teachers during that Victorian era, you weren't allowed to show any ankle back then, Mr. Dugan.
Not if you're teaching our children.
And of course, during Prohibition, right in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
For the women teachers, particularly overwhelmingly,
right.
All women at the basic level, kindergarten through sixth grade, you weren't allowed to hang around ice cream parlors.
No ice cream parlors.
Well, with the bars
wow,
closed.
Wow, that's a tough rule. You know?
I think as a former bar owner, you would understand with the bars closed because of Prohibition,
right.
What becomes the pickup joint?
Well, the ice cream shop with the speakeasy in the back,
and
that's what I would be doing.
And particularly,
come on down for the ice cream. Stay for a little extra.
And in the hot weather, the guys would wear the ice cream suit. You remember?
Bob sent me
the. You heard of the ice cream suit?
The ice cream suit. I have heard of ice cream suits. I'm not sure I know what that is.
Kind of the looks like
ice,
a white suit.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sort of an Easter kind of outfit.
Yes,
okay,
to
then.
Lure the women into the ice cream parlor.
So, meanwhile, the West Virginia teachers are still on strike,
and
we hope they're
they
going
settled.
To win out. And it's not the
they
only
did.
State.
They did win.
They did settle?
Yes.
I missed that. There's a lot of news going on.
At least that's what
that's in the White
they
House,
had announced yesterday.
So.
$5, the original
they did get it.
Okay, settlement.
Because they were hanging on four.
Right. That was the state legislator that offered the four. The governor had offered
right.
five. And remember, they were 48th out of 50 states. And they went out in the finest tradition of West Virginia labor. And we're talking Matewan. I mean, have you ever seen a great movie, Matewan?
Yeah, and there was a fellow that played Stashes that had a role in that movie.
Uh-huh. Well, again, that had to do a little with the
As
Hatfields.
As a musician in the movie.
And later the McCoy. The Hatfields, the local sheriff Hatfield,
yeah.
sided with the
was
strikers.
That Ansel?
No, it wasn't, but Ansel, a later character who yeah. ended up in that huge feud. But Sheriff Hatfield is the one that was asked to come to the state capitol and testify as to the shootout, and he was shot by private security force.
Sure, right.
As he walked up, which led, of course.
Was that the Pinkertons?
I don't. I I've heard it reported, but
being,
I don't know what
ruthless
specific.
To miners all across the United States.
In fact, the History Channel
shoot 'em
just
up wars in West Virginia,
just
Colorado,
yesterday. Yeah, had the Pinkerton on for the Homestead Strike, where they shot 8 people dead back there in the early 1890s.
There you go.
But they originally were bounty hunters.
Trail.
They were bounty hunters, and then they worked for the railroads. Shooting people dead, and then they got hired by Carnegie. You know, Frick hired them.
Did you know that the original term redneck comes from wearing the red bandana around their necks
to indeed.
Indicate they were miners and they were part of the union? Anyway.
Well, and it came...
little factoid for you there.
And, of course...
having been
the
born
battle,
in West Virginia.
The battle for Blair started. Mountain. The only time
there
in U.S. history that the U.S. Air Force has bombed... U.S. civilians.
What year was this again?
Oh, this was in the 20s following the assassination by the private guards of Sheriff Hatfield.
Yes.
The miners decided they were going to go see the legislatures at the Capitol. So they went and got their guns. I understand these West Virginians. They had squirrel rifles.
Beautiful
they had
capital.
They had shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 10,000 of them decided with their little red handkerchiefs to go call upon the state legislators.
The rednecks came down from the hills. Yeah,
yeah,
from
there was a running battle occurred over several days.
Yeah, right.
And the U.S. military had to intervene.
With planes.
And that's where the term redneck came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You let them know which side you were on with that red kerchief around the bandana around
the
neck.
From the air, I don't suppose it much mattered. That's I didn't know that little bit about it. But anyway, there's a lot of Union history in this country, as most of you know.
And there was a big fight going on because they wanted the coal companies wanted to rubbleize Blair Mountain, mountaintop removal.
Right, yeah.
And they're saying, you're removing a key part of West Virginia history.
Sure enough.
If you get rid of Blair Mountain.
Yeah. Well, that goes on in a lot of places. I hardly doubt that this porn girl is going to go away easily.
Well,
with our president.
Shockingly, it's almost she's a bit of an exhibitionist.
Stormy Daniels.
Well, that's a great name.
I love that name. Well,
Stormy Daniels.
I'm biased.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't think of anything more inviting than Mr. Trump. She's suing the president for her right to tell her side of the story.
Right, because the Trump administration broke the confidentiality. Was that the reason?
No, actually, I kept waiting, and finally it was revealed. Trump did not sign
the
agreement. And the name that was put there... was one of those
fake
Trump names.
Wow.
It was a made-up name that wasn't Trump, but he was going to sign using that as his alias, but he never signed the agreement.
He wasn't even really going to sign the thing anyway. It was
He might have been willing to sign with that
name. With a fake name.
David Dennison.
Well, there's a porn name for you.
Stormy Daniels.
Sounds like
and
he could be from Ohio.
David Dennison doing it, but he didn't sign David
tonight.
Dennison.
Yes, Trump this. Oh, man, I tell you. Oh, didn't he also, I just had heard this one, that Mr. Trump apparently doesn't have the nerve to fire those upstart children of his son-in-law and his lovely daughter, because she's not supporting him enough, I guess, and he wants Kelly to get rid of him, correct?
Uh-huh, that's what the report
is. Is this true?
Are.
Once again, I ask you that question.
Yeah, they're
is
supposed
this real?
To,
I mean, come on.
I saw it in the New York Times.
Come on.
I saw it in the paper of record.
Wow.
I was reading it a few days ago going, how is this? How is this possible?
Who knows?
He doesn't want to...
He can't look at Ivanka and say, you're fired.
And his... daughter to be hanging out all the time in the White House.
Yeah, right. Well, particularly when she didn't support him properly. I think it was she was on MSNBC or something or NBC, and she did an interview. And
hey, he likes
when they asked
loyalty.
Her if she was guilty
he
or
no
if he was guilty,
cares.
She said, "He's my father. I can't say
he
that."
He no longer cares how fine she is.
Well, she is. She's the hottest woman ever born
in the history of Earth.
In the history of the Earth, yes.
In most of this galaxy.
Right, exactly. At least this quadrant of the galaxy. So then, so those are a couple of Trump notes, but also the United States government is going to court with the state of California, correct? Legal experts, sir?
Well, it appears to be.
Sessions. Mm-hmm. Mr. Magoo versus California concerning immigrants, right?
That's yes, whether, you know, you can, in fact, force them to apply federal law.
Right, right. The sanctuary city, basically, is what we're talking about.
Or in this case, a sanctuary state.
Uh-huh, exactly. Sanctuary state, yes. And Mr. Brown, Jerry Brown, the governor of California.
And Brown's been telling him to kiss off
since
day one.
Right.
I mean, Trump showed up.
Wait. Didn't Sessions get fired last week? No, that's right. Magoo is still on the job.
He's been called names.
Yes. Yes. They had a tiff. Another one that I'm not sure was real. But so where do we stand then at this point? We're going to continue status quo, right, until this is sorted. I think Brown was even referencing how long
this might take. Well, I think this is how federalism
longer than
works.
Trump's going to be in the White House, I think.
I'm not sure you can
Sessions
force
wants to fight it out. Yeah.
A state to carry out federal law. It's up to the federal government to carry out
federal law.
Its policy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. As Brown said, this is going to be going on for quite a while. That's for sure.
And he's also, Brown also, early on when Trump took office, went before climate scientists and said, we're not going to follow any of the president's federal mandates and executive orders.
Right.
We're going to continue to, we're going to honor the French Accords on climate change, and we're going to carry them out in California, no matter what the U.S. federal government does under Trump.
You know, California's sounding better and better, I tell you. One more little tidbit, though. I wanted to get your opinion on this insider trader thing with Icahn, friend of the president, who ended up selling off his steel, some measure of his steel stock or his industry.
Met with Trump.
That, and right, just seemed, as the tariff is coming on. Yeah, right.
And seemed to have insight into.
Inside information.
Maybe I should sell off my stock. That'll be impacted by Trump's policies.
Well, Martha Stewart went to jail. Do you think Mr. Icahn might see the inside of the Gray Bar Hotel?
Well, only in a just world. You know, I mean, Martha Stewart.
Thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it looks like insider trading.
Sure,
it smells
does.
Like it. It feels like it.
Because it was.
Yeah. Either that, or he's just, you know.
It's pretty clear. I would think
he's a psychic.
Yeah,
he's, there's
that's
other
what
explanations.
It was. That's of course. Well, he visits a gypsy every Thursday.
Well, that would explain it.
Up on Morse Road there.
Well, here's the problem. Trump sent ICE in and took the gypsy away, took the psychic away.
Ah, man.
So there was no place for Icahn to go to. So his story doesn't hold up.
Yeah, there you go. He can't pull out the old gypsy defense.
No, I visited a psychic.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, that gentleman should be having his own issues. And then there's our friend Manafort.
Manafort.
Back in the news again, but
under indictment.
And somebody knew about this a little earlier than most of the other kids on the block, correct, Dr. Bob Petraeus?
Well, we've written about Manafort over the years at the Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the things to consider is Manafort was heavily involved in the 2004 stolen election in the Ukraine. And we're going to tell you about this on WGRN.
That's right, the green.
94.1.
The green.
Got it.
Renaissance.
The green renaissance.
Renaissance. Which is the other side of the news, which is where I am.
With Bob Petraeus.
Exactly.
And
Dan Dugan, right here.
Petraeus and Dugan. Okay, let me bring you a little other side of the news.
Mr. Manafort. And what you know about it.
Yes, well, here it is.
Here it is? Okay.
The in 2004,
got enough time.
Two interesting things happened, Mr. Dugan.
Yes, sir.
An election in the Ukraine seemed to produce for Mr. Yanukovych, who was Putin's choice, suddenly he wins an election. The people coming out of the polling places say they're voting for the anti-Russian candidate.
Right.
But suddenly the pro-Russian candidate wins in the Ukraine, which makes no sense.
Right.
But people take to the streets. It's called the Orange Revolution.
Exactly. The
they go Revolution. Out. It's freezing. Right. Some are repressed. Some are shot dead. But they want a re-vote. Now, the man who came in, and the question is exactly when did he come in? In 2004, he said he came in after the election to help out, was Paul Manafort.
The one and same.
Yes.
Friend of the president.
In 2004, came in to help out. He ran a firm called 3EDC. 3EDC.
Is that 3EDC?
Yes, and he was working with a man named Rick Davis.
All right.
Who's also showing up in the Mueller's indictments and reports. So.
Is he one of the 19 yet? Or
No, those were. The 19 were the Russian.
Track.
The Russian social
right,
media.
Right. Oh,
people.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm crossing these cases up. So
as we look at what was happening on the other side of the news. 3EDC was a lobbying firm, and in part it was run by Paul Manafort. Roger Stone was also involved, the legendary Roger Stone.
Now, he's involved with the Russian collusion case, yes.
Yeah, and then you had New Media, which was run by a CEO. They're working as part of their team. They have media communications and IT work. That's run by CEO Mike Connell. Now, Connell's famous. He was the man accused of rigging the Ohio election of 2004. He built a back door into the election system,
Right. Actually
the backup system. Ohio supercomputers go down for the first time in history, which
his own
people
little speakeasy.
Wonder. And then they outsourced the final vote tally to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where a God-fearing, born-again Christian, Jeff Averbeck of Smart Tech, did the final vote count and sent it back to Ohio. And there was a sudden, startling last second shift of about 6.7% of the vote.
Are you questioning Smart Tech? Wow.
I am. Wow. I'm wondering. They may have been real smart.
Yeah.
But Averbeck.
Such a great name.
Who is Jeff Averbeck, a born again. Did I tell you he was a born again Christian preacher? But Connell comes to the attention. We subpoena him
surprised.
In a case called King Lincoln Brunsville on behalf of inner city voters in Columbus, Ohio. So we're trying to get to the bottom of how these people got purged from the voting rolls. How did these vote totals come up so bizarre? How did you get a 131% voter turnout initially in Clyde, Ohio? Couple counties in Perry County, 121, 124%. It looked like electronic ballot stuffing. So we deposed Michael Connell. We depose him.
Right.
So he tells us that he was hired by J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, and Trump's guy briefly when he
a
got
a lovable guy.
He was on Trump's transition team.
Sure.
So Mr. J. Kenneth Blackwell puts together this contract, and who's involved is Michael Connell, Jeff Averbeck, and they're working with, of course, Paul Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
And who's working in the Ukraine when the Orange Revolution is going on? Michael Connell.
And they get cheated, yeah, and Paul Manafort. Yeah.
And, of course, Jeff Averbeck. their work. And then in 2010, 6 years later, they show up to work again. Well, Connell doesn't because he's dead. He died in 2008 after we deposed him one day before the election. He was dead by December 19th.
When you say we, small, could you?
Me and Cliff Arnebeck.
Right. Okay.
The, my associate at the time.
Uh-huh.
We still worked together. We were attorneys on the King Lincoln Brunsville case. And we spent years, started in 2006, trying to track down how this vote count was so wrong. We narrow it down to Michael Connell. We get him to give us testimony to talk about his involvement, new media, but he also had another company called GovTech. So new media is doing
smart tech, GovTech, tech. Yeah.
Yeah, new media is they doing George W. Bush's website out of the White House.
It doesn't fall far
GWB 43. So he's attacking Kerry with the Swift boaters.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, new media. He's doing these attack ads. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he's just counting the votes, Mr. Dugan, with GovTech.
Count the votes.
A good nonpartisan vote counting.
Yeah.
So his one company is doing attack ads, the nastiest and most vicious in the world, while he's busy counting the votes in Ohio in 2004. But then he disappeared, and after he disappeared, we got a letter out of our law firm, which looked like a redacted kill order. It says, you know, that Michael Connell was killed. Why was he killed? NST. You understand, Mr. Dugan? NST.
NST.
National Security Threat.
Aha.
And at the time, I'm thinking, why would they kill him? It's just Ohio. Now, in retrospect, if he was in the Ukraine, and we know he was working in the Ukraine at various times for Putin's guy, right? He's working for Yanukovych,
right?
Who Putin wants in office. So if he's installing Putin's guy in the Ukraine, it could be a national security threat. So what we thought was just something really bizarre.
Right.
But his activities with Manafort in the Ukraine during the 2004, during the Orange Revolution, could in fact explain.
And you hounded the one guy into an early grave, it seems, right?
Oh. No, his airplane went down. He had, and all of this was outlined in this redacted. Wow. He was flying his own airplane. In fact, not only did I not hound him, I followed him into the bathroom.
Yeah,
right? You know.
Right, yeah.
Well, not for the improper reasons people are speculating.
I'm not.
I followed him into the bathroom to tell him not to fly his small plane. He had a little Piper, and I said, "Look, if I was you, I would not fly your plane," right? It's, you know, cuz we had heard he was being threatened by one Karl Rove, yeah, that he needed to take
and
the
that's
fall
a guy that can threaten.
For what happened. Yeah. In Ohio, and he kind of scoffed at me, and you know, and he was dead within a month and a half.
Wow.
Michael Connell.
Yeah,
if people go on the internet and put in the name John Ennis, is it Ennis with an E or I? Yes, the plane crashed in Akron, Ohio.
Ah, it hit the blimp.
It, not really, but... and John Ennis, if you put in Mike
it's a
Connell.
Dangerous business.
But
you knew the job was dangerous when you took
E-N-N-I-S,
it,
it's E-N-N-I-S, John Ennis, Mike Connell. There's a good 10-minute YouTube you have to see.
There you go.
But this guy was operating with Manafort in the Ukraine as it all becomes unraveled. Rigging elections.
Wow.
All right.
That's some stuff there. Hey, while we're still on the air with our half-hour show, we would like to wish Malcolm J that he repair quickly. Our good friend Malcolm was whacked in the eye with a broken beer bottle while helping a bartender the other day. So,
a unruly customer. And
familiar face with free press in the salons. So
yes, I have many of
Malcolm's
works.
So
works.
All right.
And Malcolm, the good friend. But have you ever been associated with unruly drunks that don't want to leave your bar?
Yes. I never hit anybody with a beer bottle.
Well, neither did the people at that bar.
No.
It was the unruly.
Was some, yeah, I know. The bartender intoxicant. Was just trying to get the guy out of the bar. That's really all you do. Yeah. So, well, that's tough stuff. So, Malcolm, get better. And also, we've got some events coming up that are in the Free Press came out this week. We've got the protests against gun violence right here in town. Wednesday, March 14th at 10 a.m., a national school walkout will be going on at various schools across central Ohio. And parents have the right to send their kids to school in the mornings and see them home alive at the end of the day, as it says. So join that. Also, Moms Demand Action Advocacy Day on Wednesday, March 21st, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Trinity Episcopal Church. That's right downtown at Broad Street, right across from the State House. So join those supporters of Moms Demand Action. It's an annual event. March for Our Lives on Saturday, March 24th at 11 a.m. at Genoa Park in downtown Columbus. So those are a few events. If you do believe what most of us do, that this gun thing is way out of hand, and that a few changes to the laws like no more bump stocks or you bump it up to 21 years old, that's not enough. Things have got to be done. So get out there and participate, folks. It's your democracy.
All right, and were we not going to talk about a possible saint?
Oh, that's right. One more thing. Yes, the Pope has approved miracles performed by Oscar Romero, the priest from El Salvador. So stay tuned for that. His March 24th is the anniversary of this hero's death. So.
Okay, anyway. And I was in El Salvador in 1993.
I was going to say, you spent some time down there. And did you meet the priest?
He was dead. He died in 1980. But I was connected to the story. Many of us who went down to observe their first election after a brutal civil war, we met with the cultural attaché, a diplomat, who I thought was the CIA station chief. I won't mention his name. But he met with us, and he said, you know, gave us a briefing, said the U.S. is backing Calderon Soul. And then the cultural attaché / CIA chief said, are there any questions? There's dead silence. So I asked the key question. Why are we backing Calderon Soul for president when at his mansion, the lottery was drawn for the right to kill the archbishop? Blowtorch Bob Daubuisson, the psychopath we had put in power, held a lottery, and they drew straws to kill Archbishop Romero the next day while he was doing Holy Eucharist, while he was giving the wafer. That's what happened. And I luckily said, why did you allow this? Why are we back? And they said, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And they did. And they told me, here's the story. Yeah, I can't attribute it to the embassy. He was out making coffee when the lottery was held.
Oh, boy.
He's very proud of his coffee.
That's damn good coffee.
All right.
I hope it was black coffee. And we encourage you all to wear black on March 12th at 5 p.m. for the Black Pride 4. They should be freed.
Free the Black Pride 4.
And that's a location to be named.
No jail time. Targeted by the cops.
There you go.
Vicious, nasty. The sentencing's coming up. This Tuesday.
There you go. All right. That's a lot of information from the other side of the news.
A lot of information. That's why people listen to the other side of the news.
Dr. Bob Petrakis, and I'm Dan Dugan. Thank you.
Peace. Thanks for listening to the other side of the news. This is Bob Petrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, the Green Renaissance.